whatever's on your mind via the toll-free number at 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. And it's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features on the site are free, so enjoy those on us. Again, freetalklive.com as we roll into another week of fun and excitement. Go right to your phone calls. Start things out here tonight with Kurt in Michigan on the Amp Line. Hello, Kurt.
Gentlemen, how are you tonight?
Hey, what's on your mind?
Well, I'd like to talk about the line of secession.
The line of secession?
Yeah. If the president cannot fulfill his duties, the vice president takes over. But I don't think that that translates to the fictitious office of the president-elect.
You're talking about the line of succession, not secession.
Succession.
Gotcha. Okay.
I think that if, you know, with this whole birth certificate thing, which doesn't really, it doesn't bother me one way or the other. But I've heard you make the claim that if they say that Obama cannot be president, that it's just automatically Joe Biden. And I don't think that's the case.
Really?
Now, I believe the Electoral College would be able to vote for whomever they want. I would imagine there'd be an awfully lot of lobbying there to get votes, and they very well may cast a vote for Biden, but I don't think that they're would be required to do that.
I think you're right. After we got off the air the last time we talked about this, somebody proposed this to me, and it does make perfectly good sense. At this moment, Barack
they haven't voted yet.
Yeah, Barack Obama isn't even really the president-elect in the, I mean, you know, it's just a sort of, it's, I guess it's just a title that the press lays on someone because he hasn't been elected by the electors. The American people only vote for the electors, and the electors have not voted for who is going to be the president.
So if they voted for Obama, Biden, and then he was disqualified, wouldn't it then be Biden who got it?
No, because the line of succession only covers the president to the vice president. He's not the president, and if they determine he can't be, he never will be.
But wait, so I said if they vote for him. So if he is voted in by the electors as president at
December,
that point, then if they then overturn his legitimacy after that, then wouldn't it go to Biden?
I don't believe so. I believe they would be able to vote for whomever they want. I mean,
but they would have already voted at that point.
They would have voted, though.
Right.
So I'm saying so if they've already voted.
If they cast the electoral, I still don't think he never would have been sworn in as president.
I see what you're saying. Well, that's an interesting point.
Well, who would at that point? Now, this doesn't make much sense to me. We're talking about the future here because I don't know when the Electoral College meets. It's sometime this month. I know it's in December, and I know that the average American doesn't pay attention to this kind of thing. It's sort of the shadow election where.
Well, listen to us. We don't really know how it works.
We don't. The average American doesn't even know what the Electoral College is. But
yeah.
And we barely know, obviously. But it doesn't make much sense to me. If Biden has been elected in as the vice president, then isn't that valid in some way? I mean,
he's just the running mate. The votes were going to Obama. He's just a running mate. Nobody voted for Joe Biden. He just voted for Obama, who decided to choose Joe Biden.
But he was on the ballot. I mean, he was on the ballot that I voted for, and I'm going to only assume that he's on the ballot that the Electoral College votes for. I don't know, but...
Well, this all seems much ado about nothing anyway. I mean, the Supreme Court has at this point thrown out the case. They've refused to hear the case in regards to his birth certificate. So is this even an issue anymore?
Well, I did not even hear that they'd refused to hear the case. I don't listen to the news because it's a bunch of lies to me anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, again, what's really the issue here anyway? Even if they did hear the case and they did make the decision and they did throw Obama out, what's it going to matter?
Be another big government freak who would take over.
Yeah, well, exactly. And interestingly enough, the liberals apparently, the people that consider themselves liberals, are not very happy with Mr. Obama. We might have a chance to talk about what some of them are having to say here in a bit. Kurt, any other thoughts for us?
Well, just one more. This is the month that I'm going to be writing my AMP check, so I'm going to be writing a check for you guys, and I want to let you know that starting the first of the year,
starting the first of the year, is he still there? Kurt? He's gone. Well, starting the first of the year, you can vote for Free Talk Live at vote.freetalklive.com, or you could become an amplifier. Maybe that's where he was going, because I know that Kurt in the past has encouraged others to become Free Talk Live amplifiers, as he has done. So, and as you heard, you don't have to do it via credit card or PayPal. You can do it via the old-fashioned check method if necessary.
Now, I know that the rule is one call a night for people, but it's sort of come up recently. What if your phone call gets cut off?
Well, you know, clearly if there's some sort of phone issue and we had intended to continue the conversation, then you're certainly welcome to call back.
Okay.
So we continue, and we'll talk to Carl in Massachusetts. You are on Free Talk Live. Hello, Carl.
Hi, how's it going?
Hey, what's on your mind?
I had a quick question for both of you.
Okay.
About how do you feel about if there were to be a reduction in government or just a complete free market? Would you advocate for a police force to be then put on a free market so that people could, you know, go and then essentially pay for a protection agency?
I think people are going to want protection services. I mean, sure, we all understand that crime will be drastically lessened even in a small government situation without the war on drugs to contend with. But still, there are crazies out there, and there are people that are going to want to make sure their possessions and their loved ones are kept safe and insured from damage. So certainly, you would see some sort of free market protection agencies out there. Probably will be in the form of insurance companies with investigators that they would hire, or bounty hunters that they would bring in to round up the bad guys. And absolutely, I think that would be in demand. In fact, I don't think that we can get from here to there without having things like that rise up to replace the government. I don't think it's going to be something where, okay, government's over, now let's have these other companies start up. There's probably going to be some sort of transitionary period, and I'm speculating here, of course. Who knows how it's all going to play out, but probably be some sort of transitionary period where protection agencies are already starting up and becoming popular, and the government just sort of wastes away. That's what I would guess would happen.
Now, you said in a lesser government situation, and I do not advocate for doing away with the police. I do advocate for doing away with the war on drugs, and I think that would go a long way to, you know, bringing the police back into a peace officer role, and a role that's respected by a much larger percentage of the population. However,
okay,
I think that when you're talking about protection services, we currently have them. If I wanted to, I could hire some protection service to protect my house and my property. And I could hire them at whatever level I wanted to hire them. I could hire them to drive by once a day. I could hire them to drive up the driveway once a day. I could hire them to station people at all four corners of my property. I could hire them to do whatever I want. So we have that today, and people can, some people employ it, mostly famous people.
There's a second part to this question then.
Yes, sure.
So then say there were, different agencies on the free market, who's to say that, you'd essentially have to listen to them, I guess. You know, if your neighbor hired someone and they came after you for doing something, who's to say that you actually have to even follow what they have to,
Well, what are you doing allegedly they'd be coming after you for?
Say it's a violent crime, for instance. Say you come into the house and you burglarize them and it's an assault. And then the next day, their police force that they have hired to come and, essentially take you to court, arrest you. Who's to say then you actually have to listen to them? Why, if you have your police force and you can then, I feel like it's putting it on a free market.
Well, first of all, if it's something like assault, you probably won't be arrested for that, as that's probably not something that you're doing over and over again. If you just got into a fight with somebody, if you are somebody who's an upstanding member of the community, odds are good that there will be no need for an arrest or bringing you and putting you in a jail cell because of that. You'll be invited to go to arbitration, most likely, with whoever the other person is. And if you at that point decide you don't want to go to arbitration, you have to really think about this thinking about making that decision, because if you don't want to go to arbitration, we're talking about a total free market situation.
Yeah, that would have to be free market.
If you're talking about not going to arbitration, you're also talking about making yourself look really bad. I mean, you're talking about losing possibly your job situation. You're talking about putting that at risk. You're talking about having friends ostracize you. I want to dig into this a little deeper, so hang on. We'll bring you back. 800-259-9231. There will be market pressures to get you into arbitration.
Are Are you concerned about the privacy of your email messages? Andre Picard, author of the Computer Privacy Handbook, says that normal email has become the most comprehensive surveillance system ever invented. Email may feel like a private one-to-one conversation, but in truth, it's about as confidential as whispering through a megaphone. When messages leave your company's email system, they become vulnerable to unscrupulous third parties who harvest private data for advertising. Also, if you're someone's boss, consider this little fact. In a recent survey, over 35% of IT professionals in charge of business email systems admitted to snooping through the boss's email. Your email no longer has to be exposed to such risks. Now there's PrivacyHarbor.com, an innovative new secure email solution utilizing some of the same reliable technology used in online banking. PrivacyHarbor.com, because normal email is not secure.
The holidays are right around the corner. The crowds, the countless hours in traffic, finding a parking spot just to buy a gift you're worried they might not like anyway. How about surprising your loved ones with a gift they can use every day of the year? Give the gift of safety with security products from PepperSpray.com. PepperSpray.com carries the largest assortment of pepper spray and other personal safety devices on the web for your spouse, your children, your coworkers, and more. When you purchase the perfect gift from PepperSpray.com, you'll receive 10% off just by using the coupon code GCN. What better way to say Merry Christmas than giving the priceless gift of safety and security from PepperSpray.com? Shop now at PepperSpray.com or call 1-800-908-9988. That's 1-800-908-9988. PepperSpray.com wishes you and yours a safe and happy holiday season.
Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources. December 8, 2008. Gold opened this morning at $779.60. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $803.35, $401.68 for the half ounce, and $200.84 for the quarter ounce. That's $803.35, $401.68, and $200.84.
Bailout equals market distortions increase money supply while productivity is going down. Wall Street is receiving injections of liquidity while smaller companies are forced to concede. Companies too big to fail are now using the tax dollars to increase market share, paying fat dividends. Are you wondering why supplies of gold and silver coins are decreasing rapidly, leaving the public scrambling to accumulate what's left? Fiat currency's value is based on trust, fiscal responsibility. Is Congress and the White House acting responsibly, earning your trust and confidence, or is it time to ensure your hard-earned wealth? Midas Resources offers economic insurance, gold and silver coins, 800-686-2237. Do you believe that more bailout will solve our economic problems? Or would you like to call Midas Resources at 1-800-686-2237? That's Midas Resources at 1-800-686-2237.
Ionic Zone has the lowest prices in the USA on shock treatment ozone generators starting at $299. Ionic Zone shock treatment ozone generators are used by remediation contractors and homeowners alike to sterilize homes and cars, making them free from bacteria, molds, viruses, and complete removal of secondhand smoke, pet odors, you name it. What else can three oxygen atoms, in other words, ozone, do? Many hospitals sterilize their operating rooms with ozone before and after operations. And have you ever heard of ozone therapy? Ionic Zone has a wealth of information on ozone therapy. Ozone therapy is used, among other things, to raise the body's oxygen level, which studies suggest boosts the immune system. You can learn more about ozone therapy or Ionic Zone ozone generators by going to ioniczone.com or calling 800-549-9535. That's ioniczone.com or toll free 800-549-9535. Ionic Zone.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. It's your show. You can bring up whatever you want via the toll-free number at 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line, and it's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features are completely free, so enjoy those on us. Again, that is freetalklive.com, and some of those features include the archive, so if you missed a moment of the show, click and download right there from the front page of the website going back for an entire year, totally free at freetalklive.com. Also, I want to invite you to the Free State Project. It is, in my opinion, your best chance at liberty in your lifetime. So go and get more information about a movement that is designed to concentrate liberty activism all in the same place. I believe that has been the missing key to the liberty movement. It's one of the reasons why, well, the movement has been so slow at growing over the last several decades. There just hasn't been enough of us in the same place. And the Free State Project aims to fix that problem by gathering as many liberty-loving activists all together in the state of New Hampshire as possible, or the geographic area of New Hampshire. And so if you want to learn more about that, if that sounds interesting to you, go to freestateproject.org. And learn more about the program, because, Mark, you and I are both participants. We moved here in 2006, and I have to say it was one of the best things I've ever done with my life. I loved living up here in New Hampshire, and the people that we're surrounded by, they make it all the better. I mean, New Hampshire on its own, very beautiful place, but it's the people, these activists, these liberty-loving activists, both in the political realm and the market-based activism realm, they're the best of the best. And you can experience what it's like to be around these folks by coming up for a visit, specifically during the Liberty Forum, which you can learn more about at freestateproject.org/Liberty Forum. We continue with your phone calls, and we go back to Carl in Massachusetts. Now, Carl, you're asking a question about the proposed free market concept, the idea of eliminating all coercive government and having a total free marketplace where protection services, which heretofore have been supposedly provided by government, though they don't really do that great of a job at actually protecting you. They're pretty effective at protecting the state and its interests, but not actually citizens. But nonetheless, the idea would be that protection services would be available in the marketplace. And your question was, well, what sort of motivation would I have for wanting to go along with what these market-based protection agencies might want me to do in a conflicting situation? Say you get into a fight with a friend or something like that, and then they come to you and they say, well, we think you did this, and we'd like you to come to arbitration on, you know, with this court or at this time, whatever. And you would be able to, you're asking, well, why would I want to go and do that? What's in it for me? And I think the basic answer is that in a free market society, and as in any society, reputation is very important. You want people to know that you're an honorable person, or at least I would hope that's what you want people to know about you. That's what I want people to think about me. I want people to know that when they're doing business with me, that they're going to be doing business with somebody who's up front, with somebody who's upstanding, with somebody who is honorable in his or her business dealings. When somebody is a friend of mine, I want them to know that I'm going to be reliable. When I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it, that sort of thing. And so having a good reputation is very important to me. And it's important to, I think, most people in the realm of sanity. So because you want to protect your reputation, you'll have an interest in going to arbitration. And you can actually pick, if you don't like the arbitrator they've chosen, you can pick your own arbitrator, and then the two arbitrators can pick a third arbitrator to have them arbitrate between the two of them. So it's not like you're forced to choose to use the arbitrator that the accusing party is using. You can pick an arbitrator that you trust if you don't trust their arbitrator, and again, those two can go and go to a third arbitrator. Of course, that increases probably will triple the cost, and the loser will have to pay, so there is some financial incentive for you to just go along with whoever it is. And of course, arbitrators in a free market society will be competing with one another, so odds are good they'll all be better than the government court system, because arbitrators are competing for speed of service and cost and reliability and various other factors. So you wanted to continue?
Now, I just had another question. I wanted to see, now I know Mark doesn't really have a point of view. I just wanted to see if I could get his take on what he believes would work in a smaller government sense, because as we know now, you know, the police have a little too much. They seem to abuse the power a little too much. So, what would be the means of keeping them in check in a smaller government?
Well, as far as keeping the police in check, I think the first thing that we would do by getting rid of the drug war and allowing men and women to do whatever they want to do as long as they don't hurt each other. You would see a huge downscaling in the size of the police, and therefore the power of the police. Simply, an organization with fewer people is going to have less power. And that's all there is to it. And I think that most people really do want, if not the police, some organization there in order to stop, you know, the people that they consider bad and violent and dangerous and all that stuff. Unfortunately, what we currently have is an organization that, you know, in some cases is bad and violent itself in order to get done what it wants to get done. And I also, and from a criminal justice standpoint, I would do away with plea bargaining. Plea bargaining, as far as I'm concerned, is unconstitutional. It's antithetical to justice, the ideas of justice. It it does not serve the victim. It does not serve the criminal. It does not serve society as a whole. The only thing it serves is
the state
in growing this big industrial complex wrapped around
the prison industry.
The prison industry, yeah.
All right, yeah, that's it. I just been trying to toss around a few ideas.
Thanks, Carl. And check out the Market for Liberty when you get a chance over at book.freetalklive.com. It's a great explanation. It does a far better job than I at explaining the free market proposals for justice and police and those tricky issues.
I think that the proposals are very interesting, but it really does require a book to explain those proposals. Notice how I proposed two very easy, very huge changes that could be explained inside of 2 minutes.
1-800-259-9231. That is the SACL CAI toll-free line. So, again, the in the free market situation, you would have market-based pressures that you would want to respond to in order to protect your reputation. You would want to go to arbitration. And if you were a violent individual who was continually committing violence, I believe that there would be certainly people could take action against you. You could be labeled essentially as a threat, essentially. And you know, the insurance companies could hire Bounty Hunter to come after you and take you off the streets, and they would be putting their reputation at risk, because if they were wrong about you, then they would take a huge loss of reputation and they would have a tough time recovering from that. Unlike the government, when it accuses people wrongfully of crimes they did not commit, all it usually does is shrugs its shoulders if it gets caught at it, as it has done with a number of people, whether they've been on death row or not. But people that have been on death row, they've let out, what was it, over 200 in
over
the last
200, yeah,
30 or 40 years. They usually just shrug their shoulders and say, whoopsie. And maybe they give a cash payment to some of these guys. I don't think they all get that. They just usually say, okay, you're out of here. Sorry.
Most of them are really good. Oh, they'll live with that.
Yeah. Oops. Sorry. So nothing happens to the government's reputation. People will see those stories and be outraged by them. People will see them and say, darn those governments. But what can they really do? They can't withdraw their money, because then the government goons will go after them, steal their house, throw them out of their own house, take them away from their family. So there is no reputation loss for the government when it screws up. But in the free marketplace, those agencies, if they make mistakes, ooh, they'd be in trouble. More coming up. You take control. Free Talk Live.
Santa, Christmas Eve, and you haven't left yet?
Ho, 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 ho. No, I can't find my keys.
Here's the perfect gift. Our patented Find One, Find All Key Finder, or FOFA XD for short. Once a FOFA key finder is attached to each of those easy-to-lose things, it can find and be found by all the rest. Use your wallet to find your keys to find the remote control, or any of them to find an uncharged or muted cell phone. FOFA goes through walls, cushions, and laundry baskets up to 30 feet, and projects a loud 90-plus decibel beep. And new for Christmas, there's even a FOFA just for eyeglasses.
Where did I put my glasses, Mrs. Claus? Oh, here they are.
Luckily, Rudolph's nose isn't the only thing that flashes.
Order your FOFA today with batteries included, along with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Call 866-245-8670. That's 866-245-8670. Or buy online at findonefindall.com. Again, that's findonefindall.com.
When you're out driving this holiday season, keep in mind you're being watched. Whether you know it or not, red light and speed cameras are everywhere, ready to snap a photo of your license plate. One simple, harmless error could end up costing you over $500, quickly putting an end to your holiday cheer. Fight back with Photo Blocker. Simply spray your plate once, and you're done. Any photos of your license plate will appear overexposed, making them virtually unreadable. See the newscast showing just how Photo Blocker works against traffic cameras. Christmas is here, and the economy is in bad enough shape without spending hundreds of dollars in fees that can be avoided with one simple application of Photo Blocker. Go to SprayYourPlate.com. That's SprayYourPlate.com or call 1-800-276-9601. That's 1-800-276-9601. Don't give your money to the state. Spray your plate. And when the cameras flash, you'll save some cash.
Drink and Mate proudly presents another mind-boggling episode of America's Toughest Quiz Show. That's Too Complicated. Let's see if we can figure out which contestant got the intellectual edge after an evening of partying by using Drink and Mate.
For 20 points in the win, Milt, GLUR5 and blank kinate receptor subunits in hippocampal neurons co-assemble to form functional receptors.
Pony?
Oh, too bad. Yes, Chip. The logical companion of GLUR5, GLUR6. You've won the game!
Hey, life is like a game, and if you want to win, you've got to give it your best every day, which doesn't always happen after an evening of celebrating with friends and family. That's why there's Drinkin' Mate, a patented formula of guava leaf extract proven to reduce the effects of hangover. It restores balance to your body, keeping headaches and nausea at bay, and it really works. Tell them, Don.
Drinkin' Mate. I wouldn't be able to read this without it.
Available at quality retailers nationwide. Drinkin' Mate urges you to please drink responsibly.
The time clock is ticking. Laws could change. The new world order is advancing rapidly. Health consciousness is fading away. Junk food, fast food, fat food is the new world order's game. Don't play the game. Slim down, detox, and cleanse yourself from the chemical foods and processed food that we intake daily. And now for the holiday special. Buy 1 month of Super Tea, and we'll throw in an extra 2 weeks. That's right. 1 month of Super Tea, and we'll throw in an extra 2 weeks. It won't last long, so order now. GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or call us at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Order now before you can't.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
It is your show. You can bring up anything. Just dial the toll-free number, 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. And it's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
And you can join us online at freetalklive.com. All the features are free. So enjoy those on us. And those features include the wiki, over 1,800 pages created by listeners like you. Just go to wiki.freetalklive.com. And see what that's all about. You can edit virtually anything that you see there. It's like the listener editable version of our website, wiki.wiki.freetalklive.com.
You know email's not secure, but hey, privacy's dead anyway, right? Wrong. Introducing PrivacyHarbor.com, an easy-to-use, secure email alternative. Sign up for a free account today, PrivacyHarbor.com, because normal email is not secure. And I was just reading Popular Mechanics today, and they were telling you the only way to have secure email is by getting an encoding program. Well, it's not true, because I wouldn't know how to use an encoding program on my email or anything like that. I don't want to learn, and I don't want to go through the trouble of downloading, and I don't want to try to figure anything
out. Sounds time-consuming.
Yeah, it sounds like I have to dedicate a day to figuring this out, and I don't want to. PrivacyHarbor.com is so easy, I can use it. That's PrivacyHarbor.com.
All right, we continue with Paul in Texas. Your phone calls, what the show's about. Paul, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey.
Paul, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Oh, nothing but I was listening to y'all's podcast from Saturday.
Yes.
And y'all had this whole rant going on the suicide. And this one guy emailed y'all how he said it was wrong and everything. I just want to comment to him that he's a little crazy, because if people want to kill themselves, they have full right to do that.
I believe they absolutely should be able to take their own lives, especially in a case where you're talking about somebody with terminal illness.
I think you're talking one thing that needs to be to be pointed out in this circumstance is that suicide hurts people. It hurts the families of when somebody commits suicide who's not in terrible health. It hurts the families, and it has a lot of collateral damage to it, and I don't want to minimize that. However, when you're talking in the arena of rights and human rights, I think that the people have the right to do that. I think, however, they are not in the right to do it.
I get that, and I know it hurts the families. And all. My cousin just committed suicide about 2 months ago.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I can only imagine what that's like for your uncle and aunt.
Yeah, they keep crying all the time. But even still, these who was it, those three states that have legalized now?
Yeah.
It's legal. Yeah, for terminally ill, or for people that are seeking doctor-assisted suicide. So people that are terminally ill with major pain in their bodies, those kinds of people can now get suicide from a doctor, because I don't think a doctor is going to give you suicide because, you know, you broke up with your girlfriend or something like that.
Yeah, that's how he was. He was ill in the head, and he was always trying to commit suicide, and every time we tried to stop him and just... He finally was able to get away with it. And
so your cousin had attempted to kill herself before?
He
himself? I'm sorry.
Herself. Oh, no. Herself. Numerous occasions. This is about the fifth time that she tried. And
wow.
Finally, she was able to do it. She actually overdosed on one pill or something. I don't know what exactly it was.
Hmm. It's sad. Now, did anybody ever call the cops on her for the first few attempts? Did they intervene in any way, or was it all very private and kept under the radar?
Oh, no, the cops were called. An actual neighbor called, like, three times, because she could hear her screaming, and every time she tried, it just got worse until finally we just couldn't help her anymore. It's just...
How was she trying? I'm sorry, I don't want to be too morbid here, but how was she attempting to kill herself that would involve her screaming?
Well, all I know is, from what I know, at times she'd have a gun pointed to her head and she'd be screaming at herself.
I see. So screaming just out of hatred for her life or whatever it was, whatever crazy thoughts were going through her mind. So did they charge her with suicide or attempted suicide? Did they try to put her in a crazy house? What was the police and the state government people's response to this?
They actually tried once to put her in it, but it just never filed through. And we were actually on a pending list because they wanted to put her in the house, but by the time they got to her, it was too late.
Mm.
So how long did this – you say she tried to kill herself five times. What sort of time period are we talking about? Are we talking about a period of 2 weeks? Are we talking about 2 years? How long was this going on?
I'd probably say about 3 to 4 months.
So 3 to 4 months, several suicide attempts. So she was never charged with attempted suicide? The state never went after her with its apparatus?
Not that I know of.
Okay. Very interesting. Any other thoughts for us?
Actually, one. About y'all's whole deal on the legalization of marijuana and all these other drugs to not be put in jail for any of them, mm-hmm. I completely support that.
Well, anybody with sense in their head should support that, and I thank you for the call tonight, Paul. Good hearing from you. 800-259-9231. Anybody who has thought about prohibition for a little bit of time should be able to come to the conclusion that it's a dismal failure every single time it's tried. It creates the consequences that were unintended that are usually the opposite of what they actually intended.
Sure, you can agree or disagree that drugs are good or whatever. I mean,
sure.
I've heard people agree and disagree on that subject. That's not the subject I'm talking about. I'm certainly not going to get on here and talk about the wonders of crack. However, I would say that, you know, addictive drugs like crack and heroin and things like that create criminals that are desperate and willing to do anything. I've watched the Dave Chappelle show recently, and you look at Tyrone Biggums. And you're looking at a guy who's at a state of desperation. He's obviously, it's character.
Based on some level of reality.
Some level. I mean, certainly more than I know about crack addicts.
They're probably not as funny, but...
Right.
As desperate? Yeah.
In a state of desperation that, you know, he's liable to do anything, and they could do it to you and your family, and it's all because the price of cocaine has been artificially inflated due to the war on drugs.
So right. So anybody that can take an objective look at the issue of the war on drugs should come to the conclusion it's an absolutely abysmal idea that has only resulted in more people having tougher time in their lives. The people that are busted for drugs are just put into a worse position because they're impoverished by the fines. Their families are torn apart by the jail time. Their lives are destroyed ever more than they might have already have been because of the drugs, because they have to go and spend time in prison. the, of course, as you're pointing out, Mark, people that don't even encounter drugs in their lives, people that aren't even anywhere near the drug culture are put at risk. Their families are put at risk because they could have somebody robbing their home. They could have someone breaking and entering into their car, stealing things. There could be violence that could be brought upon them if they don't turn over their valuables to the seething crack addict who's trying to steal them from them. So there's so many different consequences and so much damage that's done because of the unintended consequences of the war on drugs that you have to come to that conclusion. The only way you could come to the conclusion the war on drugs is a good thing is if you are a drug dealer and you're profiting from you're getting insane black market profits of 200, 300, actually, excuse me, it depends on your level in the chain. You can make profits up to thousands of percents in the black market. And so you are probably for the war on drugs because you are a drug dealer, especially the upper echelon drug dealers. They're the ones that really make it. You also probably be for the war on drugs if you're a cop who actually doesn't really care about his constituents, about his, you know, citizens. If you don't really care about those people and you only care about the budget for the police department, then, yeah, you support the war on drugs because without the war on drugs, your police department's budget's going to go down. You're not going to get all that sweet drug money, enforcement money from the federal government, and you're going to have to focus on real criminals, too, which is actually harder police work because you have to go after murderers and rapists and people that are actually a real challenge to catch instead of popping the hippies driving down the street and the cars full of kids and shaking them down for a bag of marijuana. That's not hard work at all.
Another thing that the drug war does for the police that is sort of artificial is it gives them more busts. It shows them in action more often. If we're
stopping crimes.
Right. If the police, it's difficult. It is difficult to solve murders. It's difficult to solve burglaries. It's difficult to solve arsons because you don't have a lot of evidence there. It's not difficult to bust somebody with drugs in their pocket, especially if you do some kind of illegal search.
Hell no. I could go raid any old restaurant in town and probably arrest 90% of the staff right now.
So when the police are no longer allowed to bust people for drugs, then you have them, well, unfortunately, failing to solve crimes, and that's going to bring heat down on them to some extent.
Toll-free number here, 800-259-9231. Bring up what you want. It's Free Talk Live.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need health insurance, you need to make this free call and see how the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company can help you. They specialize in helping the self-employed and individuals just like you who need flexible health insurance to get it. Don't take risks with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need quality family health insurance, call right now.
Call 800-524-1350, 800-524-1350. Call toll-free, 800-524-1350.
Market and plans vary by state, not licensed in New York. Exclusions and limitations apply. North Richland Hills, Texas, policy series on file. Association group plans, where available, require association membership.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 989-637-4179. That's 989-637-4179. Be a part of the revolution today.
Alex Jones here with a question. What does humidity mean to you? Most people think of hot and sticky summer days, but many people are beginning to realize that humidity can be a valuable source of pure drinking water. That's why I'd like you to visit AcolaBlue.com. AcolaBlue is a state-of-the-art atmospheric water generator producing purified drinking water. from the humidity in the air using reverse osmosis and a 5-stage carbon and UV light filtration system, which produces great tasting water at an unbeatable price. Finally, drinking water that you control. I use one every day. Say goodbye to expensive water delivery services and storing 5-gallon bottles of water in your home. The Ecola Blue 28 is shipped right to your home, ready to make close to 7 gallons a day right out of the box. They have a 30-day money-back guarantee. Call Ecola Blue right now at 866-585-4044. That's 866-585-4044. Or visit Ecola Blue at ecolablue.com today.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple, fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables, ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. It's your show. You can bring up what you want. Just dial the toll-free number, 800-259-9231. That is the SACL CAI toll-free line. It is Ian here with you.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features on the site are free, so enjoy those on us. Again, that is freetalklive.com. And if you like this show and you want to help support Free Talk Live, you can do so by voting for the show. Mark, are we above
yes.
By 50 votes now at this point?
That's correct.
All right, that's good. But you should still vote for us, even if you haven't done it in the month of December. You only need to do it once. In fact, you can only do it once by going to vote.freetalklive.com. And since we are over the 50-vote window that we've set for ourselves, our safety buffer, we won't ask you to do it again unless we drop below that safety buffer. But so we still need you to do it if you haven't done it, just to make sure we have a nice large buffer at vote.freetalklive.com, because the more votes we have, the longer we stay at the first-place position at Podcast Alley, which means new people will come to the show, new people will discover the message of freedom. That's a good thing. So go to vote.freetalklive.com. Speaking of freedom, we're going to talk, hopefully, if we get a chance. Of course, the calls are a primary element here, but if we do exhaust calls at some point, we'll get to Barack Obama's 21st Century New Deal. And I can tell you it doesn't involve freedom very much. We'll get to that. But first, we go to your phone calls and talk to Tom in New Hampshire. Tom, you're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Mark.
I just wanted to bring up a point here about firearm safety and what this means to those people who are, involved in the debate on gun control, which really means using both hands, that when somebody commits suicide with a firearm, it's very common for the children to be told that this was an accident.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what happened? He was cleaning the gun and it backfired. Which doesn't make any sense.
Well, no, it doesn't make sense because anybody who knows how to clean a weapon knows better than to clean a loaded gun, although there could be accidents that could happen. Maybe he was drunk.
Then those people, the children who are being, protected a little bit from the shock of what really happened,
mm-hmm.
grow up thinking that guns are dangerous by themselves.
That's a good point.
And so, it's very important for people who are voting now, who are old enough to handle the real truth of some of these situations, is that, hey, maybe it was a suicide that happened when you were a kid and the people next door or the people down the street or whoever it was. And so don't think that guns are a dangerous thing by themselves. Guns can be a very useful thing. For example,
sure.
Recently down in Houston, somebody used one to take out a cop. I believe it was just today. So,
Now, wait a minute. What was the situation there?
Well, the cop pulled the guy over for driving while black, and the guy got out of the SUV and bolted and went around the building, and the cop went around the building, and, you know, the guy was, oh, actually it was December 7th, and that was yesterday, and that was all for that cop. So, you know...
Well, it always sounds like you're advocating people. In fact, I think it did sound like you advocated people kill cops, Tom. And I don't think that that's the right solution at all. In fact, I found that at least here in New Hampshire, many of the police officers up here are very amicable towards our point of view. That is the pro-liberty point of view, which I believe you tend to hold. It's just that you kind of want to agitate
that it
violence.
Happened.
Okay, well, thanks for the mention. Thanks, Tom. Bye-bye. 800-259-9231. Man, I want to make sure that we do not endorse the callers of this show necessarily and what they have to say. Violence, not the solution. The cops are definitely part of the problem. There's no doubt about that. If it weren't for the cops being willing to follow bad orders, like we were talking about the war on drugs, I mean, if the cops had been given these instructions, these orders about the war on drugs, saying, okay, now, officers, we want you to go around and arrest friends and people's friends and family members for not harming anybody else. I mean, for having a piece of plant or a chemical in their pocket. If the cops had just looked back at their superiors and said, what? You want us to do what? Whoa, whoa, whoa. We've got real crimes to solve here. We've got murders and rapes. We're not going to be wasting our time with this nonsense.
Now you're armchair quarterbacking, though.
If they had done that,
need to talk about is what they can do, not what they could have done. And what
they can still refuse to follow those orders.
Most of them were hired in big pushes. The positions were open in which they fill for big pushes for the drug war. One happened in the late 60s, early 70s under the Nixon administration, and one happened under the Reagan administration. One happened under the
but they weren't hired on to be drug officers. They were hired on to be cops.
They were hired on to be cops, but they were hired on in a push during a drug war, essentially. So that's what they were. They were probably interviewed during their interview, told, "Look, this is what your job's going to be entailing, and part of that's going to be drug enforcement." Mm-hmm. You know, that's when you're hiring new people on, people getting hired on to a position are much more flexible.
I see where you're coming from.
Than somebody who's in place and established. For instance, if you're going into a job and you need to take a vacation 3 months into the job, you have a cruise planned or something like that, it's really best to tell the boss sometime, like, you know, about the time they say, you're hired, but before you come for your first day at work. If you tell them 3 weeks into it, oh, by the way, I need to take a vacation, or 3 months, you wait till 2 weeks before the cruise to tell them, you're going to have a much harder time at it. So it's that in that establishing the relationship point, people are much more flexible, and I would say that you had some young, impressionable guys, and so we can't talk about what they should have done.
Well, they can still stop for enforcing bad laws. Any old time they want to, they can refuse to follow bad orders.
And likely get fired at some point. And I'm not saying
that's what they're afraid of, Mark, and I don't know if it's true. I really don't know if that's true. I think that they are unlikely to be fired, but likely instead to have political consequences within the department. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they don't get a chance at overtime, or they're forced to do the overnight shift, never will be promoted, things like that.
These are important to people in the arena of their work.
Well, I understand
that. I want to be promoted at
my work. What's important to me is not harming others, okay? And I hope that some of these cops can come to those conclusions. And that's where I wanted to go with this. Instead of Tom's solution, which seems to be initiating force upon these unwitting police officers, I think that an outreach program would be much more effective. I think that the guys over at Law Enforcement Against Prohibition are doing wonderful work. These are mostly former law enforcement officers who have come to the conclusion that they done wrong. They hurt people. And they've now repented for what they've done, and they are repenting by going out there and spreading the word about ending this insane war on drugs, and doing it from that respectable position of having been a former law enforcement officer. And they're not only reaching out to community groups like the Lions Club and people like that, and churches, they're also reaching out to law enforcement officers. They'll go to law enforcement officer conventions, and they'll have a table, and they'll do what they can to get these ideas into their, into these young impressionable minds that you're talking
about. I agree with you on that point, and I think the first step would be in that would be to join Leap. The second step would be to join Leap in a non-anonymous role. The third step would be to...
You're talking about for a law enforcement officer.
For a law enforcement officer would be to then say, look, I'm just not going to enforce anything that I consider to be antithetical to freedom of the Constitution. I'm willing
that
to...
That would be a nice step.
Put me on the murder squad, put me on the arson squad, put me on whatever, but I'm not going to arrest people for possessing things.
So I think taking a...
These are steps that people have to take.
Yes, and I think taking communicative steps with the police is much more positive than opposing them or opposing them violently, and I would never suggest violent solutions to problems because I believe they're not really solutions. I think that violence only begets more violence. It's exactly what the state is trained and ready for. They are prepared to crack down and crack heads if that moment, if that opportunity provides itself, so we should not be providing that for them. Let's continue with Frank in New York. Frank, you're on Free Talk Live.
Good evening, gentlemen. I heard the caller earlier talk about the Barack Obama situation. I guess the case won't be reviewed by the Supreme Court on his eligibility.
That's what I said.
But what's interesting, right now under the law, it's the electors of the Electoral College that will have to determine his eligibility. Because if they allow a usurper to come in that is ineligible constitutionally, being not natural born, then ultimately if they don't provide the answers, they legally can't, cast the vote. But here's the interesting thing.
If they don't provide what answers?
Well, it's up to them to determine his eligibility. So if they can't determine his eligibility and they vote him in and it's found out later that he's ineligible and that, his acts that he's initiated are null and void, then they're actually conspirators in this. But what I find really interesting about
Does that mean they'll be brought up on charges? Not likely.
Well, they could be, yes. They could be because they could become accessories to the crime
through
their malfeasance of not making sure that he's eligible. It's ultimately their responsibility. But if it goes to the Electoral College and they decide that he's not eligible, they can vote for whomever they choose to.
So they could vote for Ron Paul.
They could vote for whomever they wanted to. They could vote, and there'd be no constitutional challenge because the 12th Amendment specifies all they have to do is take a vote, they have to report it and record it, and then they have to present it to the President of the Senate.
Thanks
and
for the clarification,
really
Frank. Appreciate hearing from you. 800-259-9231. Hour 2's coming up. OTN Sam will join us.
How confidential is email? Consider this fact. In a recent survey of IT professionals, over 35% admitted to snooping through their boss's email. It's just one of the many privacy risks that come from relying on this aging technology. If such risks bother you, visit privacyharbor.com, a secure alternative that keeps messages private and beyond the reach of eavesdroppers. privacyharbor.com, because normal email is not secure.
Are your Federal Reserve notes looking for a safe haven? Mine found it in precious metals. Not paper promises, but actual gold in my possession. It is liquid, it is private, it owes no one, it cannot go bankrupt, and it maintains its purchasing power. Find your answer at Midas Resources. That's 1-800-686-2237. The answer is at 1-800-686-2237.